maybe it's going to be an opportunity to learn. So I just went there and I started learning like the basics about Salesforce. And then Rafael has his nonprofit organization, which gives scholarships. So I say, okay, I really would like to try that.
That is Tio Don, a 21-year-old Salesforce developer down at the Yucatan. I'm Josh Burke, your host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we sit down and talk with Tio. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you may be familiar with our past episodes with Angela Mahoney and Rafael Hernandez and talking about the work that they do down in Mexico. Well, Tio is one of the recipients of that program. And so we're going to go through his story. But we are going to start, as we often do, with his early years. What is your earliest memory with a computer?
That's a good question. And I have a really good one. I have not all my life been a computer person or like a tech person. But I remember that when I was like 8 years old, I have three brothers. I mean, two brothers and a sister. So we had back then these big white monitor and these white box computers that were really old. Uh-huh. So back then, I remember being with my brother and he told me something like, hey, check this out. And when I hear that being a child, I'd say, well, maybe he's telling me like do something with the computer. So I make this noise like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So that's making that noise, it's my fierce memory that I have with that computer. Because I don't know, in my head, in my child head, I thought, okay, maybe I have to tell this to a computer. Or I don't know what I thought, but I thought like I was making some kind of calculations or something like that. So yeah, that's my very first
memory. I love that. That's awesome. Well, when did you start going from that, I'm not even going to try to make that sound, but when you go from the chick to wanting to get into software engineering and thinking it might be a career?
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. I mean, okay. In high school, I had subjects more related to biologics, chemistry, because maybe there was the possibility for me to become a doctor, a medical career or something like that. But there was many like economic troubles that were passing in my family. So I started considering, I was also really interested in music. So I studied music like for 7 years, but I could not afford like a career in music and classical music. So my brother started talking with me and my mom and told me, hey, why don't you just go into software engineering? You're good at school, so maybe it's going to be good for you. So it's affordable. You just need a computer. So I started thinking that maybe, yeah, that was the best option for me. And I was really scared at first because I didn't know almost anything about computers. I couldn't differentiate hardware and software. So that's something really basic and I didn't know about that. And I also was scared about mathematics. And my brother told me, nah, you're going to be okay. I know you can handle this. So I say, okay, I'm going to try it. And I went into the university and I enrolled me in this career. Yeah.
I love that. That's like such, I'm assuming this is your older brother?
Yeah. Yeah. It's my older brother.
Because that sounds like older brother style advice. Like, no, not mathematics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
When did you first get introduced to the program that Roth, Angela, and Larry help run?
When I entered the university, I was in my first year, and I heard about something that called Salesforce. So it was something organized by the admin group here at Merida.
Okay.
And I knew that there was Rafael Hernandez, which is who is my current mentor, and he also have these classes about Salesforce here in the university. So I saw that there was going to be like a challenge in something called Trailhead. And I say, okay, maybe it's going to be an opportunity to learn. So I just went there and I started learning like the basics about Salesforce. And then Rafael has his nonprofit organization, which gives scholarships. So I say, okay, I really would like to try that. I mean, I enroll, I make my applications for his scholarship. At that time, I really need it because it was the pandemic time. So we were struggling a little bit with buying stuff for the house. There was like really stormy rains here at Yucatan. So we had to fix a lot of things here in the house. So I say, yeah, this is going to help me a lot. So I just send my application. I had to make a video for enter the scholarship. So after a month or so, Rafael sent me an email and he told me, hey, you're in. Congratulations. And I was really happy. And at that time, I also didn't knew much about Salesforce. But then Rafael told me at half year, because this scholarship is for 1 year. So half year through, he told me, hey, what if I give you this course? It's for the Platform Developer 1 certification. I was currently, back then I was in a job making Python scripts or web-related stuff with Python. So I say, I started to get, like, maybe I started to see that I was not going to be really happy with that path. So when I heard Rafael told me this, yeah, I say just, okay. I mean, yeah, give me that course and I will try to finish it. And then at that point, it's with everything begin. I mean, he just sent me that message one day and I say, yeah, let's try it. And yeah, that happened.
Nice.
I mean, after that, I met Angela and Larry at one of the end courses because at the end of each year, each semester, they make this called the graduation of the Salesforce groups. So then I meet Angela and Larry, but it was because I started to going into Salesforce.
Got it. And that's for the uninitiated, that's Angela Mahoney and Larry Lanimer. We've had Raphael on the show. We've had Angela on the show. We're trying to get Larry on the show. Larry, if you're listening to this, there's probably something in your inbox for me. Anyway, I remember from my interview with Raphael and my conversations with him that he wants this to be like a broad education. What kind of skills outside of Salesforce were you focusing on at this time?
What kind of skills out Salesforce, like soft skills or something like that?
Yeah, like soft skills.
Yeah.
Like presentation skills, interview skills, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm keep developing those skills. I would say that when I started going into, when I go into his scholarship, there was this thing about reading a book each month. And the books were in English. So I also see as an opportunity to develop more my English skills. So I'd say, that's cool. That's going to help me. So each month, we had to read the book and make a presentation about the book, what we understood, the key points of the book, what are we, how is this going to help us through our life? So there were many books, like, for example, managing your time, talking with people, managing your soft skills about getting the things done, sales organizing your time, things like that. So yeah, I would say that I learned a lot about that. I also learned a lot about managing my time because before I was like really messy. So when I met Rafael, I remember that the first time it was like literally the meeting, the first meeting, and I get late to that meeting. So he told me, hey, what happened there? And I was like, damn it, what did I just do? So yeah, I started to trying to work on myself. On those things, you know?
Yeah.
So, those are skills that I keep developing, but I think I have had a great advance on those.
Well, I'm going to put a footnote in here because you are, and you're going to be like episode like 192 or something like that. And you're the first guest I've ever had to request to record on a weekend because you're quarterbacking your weekdays so well. So, yes, congratulations. I think you're doing very good. on the time management side of things. How would you describe your English before you started getting into college in this program?
I went before to, I mean, I was like 14, maybe 13 and 15, and my mother really wanted me to start learning English. So she enrolled me into this course. I don't remember the school name, but yeah, then I started to learn English, but I was a teenager, so I maybe didn't get that much importance to it, I would say. I mean, I was good, but I wasn't the best ones. But when, I mean, after the pandemic, I started to see that all my English skills were very rusty. Also, I take English in my high school.
Mm.
But I think that mm-hmm. helped me a lot because I was already like embracing a lot of things. I mean, I knew a lot of expressions. I knew a lot about how to talk, giving answers, things like that. So when I entered university, I started seeing that everything was in English. Like I just went to YouTube for maybe course and programming and everything was in English, or at least some of the best courses was in English. So I started like hearing a lot other people. So before that, I didn't have skills for understanding what the people was saying. So after going into university, gotcha. I would say that all these skills got like really, I don't know how to say it, but I really developed other level, like knowing by heart all these things, you know? So yeah, I would say I improved a lot mm-hmm. my English. Before that, I could not even talk like this with a person or taking a conversation, like a normal conversation with someone else. So yeah, I would say that going into that scholarship helped me a lot.
Nice. Well, I got to say, your English is muy bueno. It's very, very good. And I think a lot of us lost some of our language skills during the pandemic. So not entirely shocked there. What are some of the things that you like about developing on Salesforce, on the Salesforce platform?
Yeah. Before going into Salesforce, I learned a lot of things. And when I entered Salesforce, I realized that all these skills that I had developed through 1 year and a half when going into university, I was also going to use them. So I started seeing things related to other languages inside Salesforce. And I really liked that because I didn't have to learn all from the beginning. So I started to seeing things that I really like about Salesforce. For example, having the queues in Apex. So I say, hey, I have never used a queue before in a program because I haven't had the opportunity to do it. So, but seeing fully an already finished program that you could just start using, that is the Salesforce CRM. So having that opportunity gives you a lot of ideas about how could you implement things that you already know and things that you might apply in the future. So yeah, that's one of the things that I really like about it. Also, seeing, for example, in the part of programming, the Lightning Web Components, I started seeing that it's already based on web standards. So I knew that I had things that learn mm-hmm. about, for example, React frameworks or Vue, I was going to use that inside Salesforce. And I really liked that it was based on web standards. So everything that I done there, everything that I knew back, well, I was going to use it. And also one of the things that I like about Salesforce is that all the fact that it's a ready to use platform, I started thinking a lot about those requirements that they were trying to aim. Mm-hmm. So I see the Salesforce platform like it's built on top of all these requirements about what it should be a CRM. So I really like to work on something that it's built. I really like to think about like reverse engineering. I really like to think about, hey, how did they do this? Or why did they took this decision to do it in this way? So yeah, there are those things that I really like much about this platform.
Nice. Now, at 21, you already have how many certificates?
Four certificates.
which four do you have?
I have the associate one. I have the platform developer one, the JavaScript, and the platform developer two.
Platform developer two. Congratulations. What was it like preparing for those?
Yeah. I think for me, the hardest one was the first one. Maybe for mm-hmm. many people, it's like so. But it was because, well, as I already told you, Rafael told me, hey, why don't you go for this certificate? So I say, yeah, let's do it. And I started learning from this course. And then I realized that I already knew things about the platform.
Mm.
But I had to learn really well those things about the platform. So getting to know, like, for example, the flow builder, it was also this time where there was being changes, like, for example, the what's this called? The process builder was going to be take out of the platform. So I had to learn a little bit about this, but I also knew that it wasn't going to be used anymore. So it was difficult to choose. So I mainly decided to focus on those things that I knew was going to be used in the platform. It was really hard because there was a lot of topics. So I get a good grade, but I would say that I also get lucky on some questions. There was experience that helped me to try figuring out what could be the answer for some questions. So I would say that helped me a lot. Yeah. So yeah, I would say that one was the hardest one. After that,
gotcha.
As I already told you, for example, the JavaScript one, I already knew things about JavaScript. I had already worked with Python. Mm-hmm. So things like decorators, this kind of stuff that it's like, I would say those are topics that you would just use in certain cases. You just, or maybe it's already built in. So yeah, I already knew those things when I get to the JavaScript one. So I was like, okay, I just have to learn like almost just the syntax for getting this one. So I did that and I get the JavaScript one. And the platform developer to this one, it was hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made like a lot of notes about it. Even I think I have here my notebook and it's like completely full of annotations and I make drawings about it. So I could understand. So yeah, I have maybe all the Trailhead things related to all the batches in Trailhead, but in my notebook. So yeah, that's one difficult. I really like those topics a lot. For example, Apex doing these kind of things. So
PD2 is a big mountain to climb. Do you have a cert in your sights right now, or are you taking a break? Are you taking a rest?
I don't know. Maybe I will take a break. But after I get the platform developer 2, I was like, oh, I want more certifications, you know. But I think maybe I just have to calm down a little bit. So nice. I don't know. Nice. Maybe platform builder or something like that would be good. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, how active is the Salesforce community in the Yucatan?
I would say it's really active. really active. I mean, I don't have reference from other places, but I would say that it's not a community that you see often, like in making questions in Trailhead or something like that. Maybe I started to doing more of this by myself, but I see, for example, in those graduations that they call at the end of each semester, there are always a lot of people goes there. Like I would say 100, maybe more. I don't know if there has been like 200 people. And at least here in Yucatan, well, everyone likes to take their family to those things, you know? So maybe if they don't even know what Salesforce is, they will go. Yeah, they will take their grandmother. And so, I remember that in my class, in my Salesforce class, there was a guy asking, hey, can I take my grandmother and my mother and my uncle and my... So,
oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Good, I would say.
That is a special characteristic, I think. First of all, over 50 is usually large for a developer group. And I can't honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something like that. But that's the first I've heard of a Salesforce user group being turned into kind of a family occasion. That's awesome. Now, the first time we met was at Forcelandia in Portland. What was it like to prep for that trip?
It was my first time going out of Mexico. I think it was also my second time in a plane. So I was scared. I was really scared about it. I started thinking, maybe I mean, there is always this feeling that in your head that tells you, hey, what if something happens? Or and I start talking with my parents. I don't know. I am not sure if I should be going so far away. But yeah, my brother told me, I will mention my brother a lot here. Tell me, nice. Nah, you will be okay. Once you are there, you won't want to get back here. Like so it was nice. like a month and a half thing because I didn't have my visa. So there was a lot of support from part of the university, from part of also one of my mentors, Dr. Edgar Cambranes. He's from here at the university. He's one of my teachers. Also, he helped me a lot. He told me a lot of advices of what could I do in the airport, what I was going to do when I get to Houston, because I had to go first to Houston and then take the plane to the flight to Portland. So yeah, they helped me a lot. They helped me a lot, giving me the documents for showings into my visa to say, hey, I'm going to go to Portlandia. It's a Salesforce conference, and they will give me my visa, the planes, explain me everything. So it was really nice, I would say. I really like it.
Nice. I have to say, layovers suck. I always kind of hate it myself when, you know, when it's not nonstop. And of course, international, it's almost never nonstop. So yes, I could definitely see where that anxiety would be coming from. Now,
just to mention, when I was at the airport, it was a delay of 2 hours. So I go through all the airport in Houston. So I would say I know all the airport. But yeah, it was cool because I was getting just...
Nice. Now, at Force Landing, you presented on with Rafael a project that you were doing with VR in Unity. What? Tell me a little bit about the project itself. Like what were your goals there?
Yeah, once I had my once they told me that I had won the grand travel to go for Slandia, Rafael told me, hey, we have this project, it's also just a proof of concept, but maybe I could start helping us, because there was also this guy, it's currently in the it's currently in the Hernandez a scholarship. So he was working also. Okay. He had experience in Unity. So he helped me to put Unity in my computer because I had never used Unity before. But I had experience in Java and also building UI. So it was kind of similar. So I started to talking with Christopher. We talk about concentrate or just to try to do certain things or certain things really well. So we think about, hey, why don't we just take the avatar in here? We are going to show this information. Maybe this is going to work for maybe something larger one day. So I also try to do really well the design of the application. So our goals there was just to see what could we can actually do with Unity. What information could we bring from Salesforce? What integrations could we use? I also asked myself, is this actually going to be like fun to use? So I really was trying to do something good, I would say. Yeah, I really would have loved to keep working on that. So maybe we could do something with Rafael and some of the guys of the next scholarships in Hernandez, or maybe just continue with the project, because I mean it is really nice. I think you learn a lot. You learn about Salesforce, you learn about things out of Salesforce. So it was really good, and I think also Christopher learned a lot.
Nice. Very nice. Now, speaking of your fear of travel, do you have any trips in the near future you're planning? Are we going to see you at Dreamforce or at Forcelandia next year?
I don't know yet. I would love to. I don't know yet. Maybe I have 1 year and a half to go to finish the university. So maybe I'm just planning to finish university. I'm currently working in a Salesforce role. So I would like to develop a little bit more my skills. And maybe I would love to maybe organize myself to go to Forcelandia again. I really would like to go to Forcelandia again for sure.
It's a very, very fun conference. Tell me a little bit about life right now. How is the current internship going?
Oh, yeah. My current internship, it's going really well. I have learned a lot of things. I have seen how they do their workflow through GitHub. So I'm also doing a little bit of everything, I would say. Like, I'm getting into Apex a little bit into light web components, making documentation. So I would say that this one was one of the things that I was looking for maybe a couple of months. I really wanted to get on a hands-on project, try to learn about how they do the things, because when you're working with several people, they always there's always some problems that start happening, and maybe you didn't see or maybe you didn't expect that problem to occur, but then there is and you have to solve that. So I would say that I am learning a lot about this. There was a lot of knowledge that I wasn't being used. It was knowledge that I was just getting rusty. So I really like to just do things, you know. And when Rafael told me about the project that it was going to be shown in Forslandia, I was like, yeah, let's do it. It doesn't matter if I have no experience in Unity, I will learn, or in C#, because I really wanted to do something like that.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Tio, I think you've got a great future ahead of you at your age. Like, I don't even think I thought about certificates and things like that. I was just happy to be able to code something. If somebody's, you know, kind of young and has sort of an interest in maybe getting the computers, and again, you know, no wrong answers here, but do you have any piece of advice that you would give them based on your experience?
Yeah, I have. It's always really difficult to understand some technologies. Like, for example, the first time someone talked me about a thing called a server, I didn't know it was just another computer or a really powerful computer somewhere else. So I didn't know a lot of these things. And I always try to explain the people. I would say that the best option is to get to know someone else that is really good at explaining certain topics. I have always liked to try divide a lot the problem into really minimal stuff and going there. I mean, I really like to explain the people, for example, Git and GitHub, because it was something that it was so difficult for me at the first time I saw it. And I remember seeing Git, and you know, when you change a branch in Git, your files change also and you can see it. So I was like, what? Who did this? This is so genius, you know? So I would say that getting someone that talks, I mean, just talk a lot with the people, talk a lot up with people that it's, you can see when someone is good at explaining certain things. Not everyone is good at explaining everything. So I would say talk with a lot of people, have a mentor. That helps a lot, I would say. Yeah.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask after Tio's favorite non-technical hobby. And well, as he mentioned early in the episode, it's something he's had a passion about for some time.
yeah, I mentioned you before that I studied piano. So I studied piano like for 7 years. I play the piano now. In fact, I upload some videos to YouTube like a week ago, just my improvisations in the piano. So that's my that's my favorite thing in the world. You know, I just love to play piano. For many years, I think about being a classical professional pianist. So I currently I am not into that path, but I really like to just go play the music. I really like to make improvisations. I really like to talk about people about music. And I think the music also helped me a lot, because when I talk with people, I like to explain things about tech things. And lot about explaining things, it's things that I also learned by just learning piano or playing piano. So I know that, for example, giving analogies to people helps a lot, things like that. So yeah, that's my favorite hobby.
I want to thank Tio for the great conversation and information. And as always, I want to thank you for listening. Now, if you want to learn more about the show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.